The scripture lesson for this morning is taken from Matthew 28. And before we begin the reading, would you pray with me, please? O risen Christ, open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear it proclaimed anew today, that we too might rise to new life in you. Amen. Matthew 28, the first 15 verses. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, for he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Like many of you, I've read this story hundreds of times, dozens of times. And you think you know about the resurrection. Well, last fall, God gave me a different experience that when I read this, preparing for the sermon today, when I read this afresh in light of the experience I had last fall, it gave me a whole new insight into this passage. Let me tell you what happened. Last year, after my mother passed away, the family was quite scattered, and so we had a private burial service. Before we could all get together. And then a few weeks later, we decided to have the memorial service. And so the whole family gathered. And one of the first things we did after we all got together, we decided to go down to my mother's grave and have a quiet time there and mourn at her grave and hug one another and just, you know, experience the peace and quiet of our family gathered together there at her grave. So we all got together, and it was a pretty large crowd, and we had all the way from, you know, little tiny babies to my older sister. And so it took several cars of us to get down there. Well, the first couple of cars that came, we noticed when we first got there that there was a woman right there around my mother's grave. And it was pretty apparent that things were not right with her. She was very inappropriately dressed. She was behaving in a very bizarre manner. And so we kept the kids away, and my sister, who's a psychologist, went over to see if she could help see what the situation was. Pretty soon she came back, and she had called the police. It was very obvious that this woman was high on something and was very, very much not herself. And so we all kept the kids away from this scene, you know, took them to another part of the cemetery as one. Some of us were kind of watching and tried to keep the kids diverted, let them play outside for a little while. as the police came and an ambulance came and a fire truck came to contain this woman. Finally, they convinced her to get in an ambulance, and they took her away to get some help. So we had planned to go down to my mother's grave to experience the quiet and the mourning and you know, all those emotions that happened. And instead, we got this, instead of the peace and quiet that we expected that you normally encounter at a cemetery, we had this uproar and all this commotion with police, fire department, you know, all of this going on. Totally different than what we expected. Of course, after they finally took her away, then we tried to gather and we went down to my mom's grave, and she had chosen it because it was the freshly dug grave that this woman was at. So we all then gathered, and we never quite achieved that peace and peaceful scene after that. We still gathered and mourned my mother. Well, something like this happened, but on a much grander scale on Easter morning. As Matthew records this, he says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to the tomb to look at the tomb, to mourn. Now, the other Gospels say that there's little differing accounts. They say that Mary Magdalene took spices to anoint his body. Matthew does not. He says they went, basically expecting the peace and quiet of this garden, to quietly mourn Jesus' death at the tomb. And look what had happened to them. There was a violent earthquake when they arrived. And then they see an angel descend. And the angel moves this huge stone out of the way, and then the angel sits on top of it. Talk about peace and quiet, right? That's what they were expecting, and instead they had this earth-shattering experience. And the angel speaks to them. They're terrified. They're terrified. It says, he looked like lightning. I cannot imagine what that was like. He looked like lightning. And they were terrified. And they shook. The guards were also there. They shook and they were terrified. And they became like dead people. The guards were there, by the way, if we read earlier in Matthew. So the chief priests and members of the Sanhedrin went to Pilate, and they said, before you crucified Jesus, when he was alive, he said he was going to rise again, and we're afraid that his disciples are going to steal the body. And so post a guard there and seal the tomb, so this cannot happen. So that's why the guards were there. So these were Roman guards. They know what they're doing. And they were there, and if they fail in their duty, they will be executed. If they fail to do what they're called to do, they themselves would be executed. And so these guards are terrified, and they fall down as if they're dead. And so the angel then speaks to the two Marys. What's the first thing he says? Do not be afraid. Yeah, right. Okay? An appearance of an angel, the tomb opening up, this giant earthquake, and the angel says, do not be afraid. Did you know that's the most common command in the Bible from a messenger from God to his people? When there's an encounter with God, the first command is, do not be afraid. And today, no matter what we face, no matter what our circumstances are, we are not to be afraid. Instead, we are to trust in God, that God is in control. And even this scary scene to these women in the garden, it's to show God is in absolute control. Correct? Amen. God is in control of this garden. Now, we have to stop and think a little bit. Let's go back to Good Friday. Actually, we learned on Friday night, it's what? Great Friday, right? On Good Friday, what happened? It looks like God has abandoned Jesus, right? He's on the cross. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And people are taunting him and saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get off the cross yourself? If you really trusted in God, let God rescue you. And what does God do? They're saying, let's see the miracle of God rescuing you. And what happened? He stayed on the cross and died. And now we see God was in charge of that, and he's in charge over this tomb. And he has raised Jesus from the dead. The angels that sit there, he rolls the stone back, not to let Jesus out. Jesus is already gone, right? He opens up the tomb so that the women can see in and see that this marvelous thing has happened. This earth-shattering thing, the resurrection of Christ, has happened. They went for a little peace and quiet and encountered the risen Lord instead. Now, the angel gave them some instructions. Said, do not be afraid. Later on we see they still were. Okay? And I don't blame them for that. They were terrified. He says, do not be afraid. Jesus has been raised just as he said he would be. And now you've got a job to do. Go and tell his disciples that they're going to meet him in Galilee. And so, he says, go quickly. Did you notice that? And so what do? So the women hurried away. They obeyed. They obeyed most of it. They were still afraid, yet they were filled with joy. What a mixture of emotions. I cannot imagine it. The fear, yet the joy. The fear, and then, is it true? We've seen that God is at work. They know what they have seen. They've seen an angel of the Lord. And they're rejoicing, but still, could it be true? And then, suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings! And they came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped. Now, worshipped is a very strong word here. Throughout the Bible, there's several different times where people bow down and try and worship an angel, and the angel says, no, get up on your feet. Don't worship me, worship God only. Jesus accepts their worship. They bow down and worship him as the living God, and that's exactly who he is, and he accepts their worship. And then he says to him, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee, there they will see me. This morning at the sunrise service, we're reading from the Gospel of John, and Jackie read, and at the end of John is where Peter, who denied the Lord three times and Jesus restored him three times. I think many of you know the story. Jesus calls Peter aside and says, Peter, do you truly love me? And John responds, I'm not John. Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, well, then feed my sheep. He goes on three times. Well, when Jackie read that this morning, she made a mistake. And I still call it a God incident, not a coincidence that she made that mistake, a God incident. She said the first time it says, Peter, son of John. And the first time she read it, she said, Peter, son of John. The second time she read it, she said, Peter, son of God. And then she corrected herself the third time, got it right the third time, Peter, son of John. And so we talked about how the death and resurrection of Christ changed everything, because now all of a sudden, Jesus, who used to call his disciples or servants or friends, everything changes. And they're now his brothers, and God is now not only their God, but their Father. Everything changes. So Jackie made a mistake, but yet she was right. And here we see it again. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, and that's where they'll see me. But then the story that Matthew has goes on. And we have the guards who know they're in big trouble, right? They have fallen down as though dead. They see the tomb is empty. They saw that it was sealed. And they saw the angel too, who rolled it away. They know the true facts, don't they? They know that he is not there, that God has acted in a mighty way and has raised him from the dead. So do they go back and tell Pilate? What is Pilate going to do to them? Have him executed? No, they go back to the priests, the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, and they go and tell them of this miraculous event. They saw it with their own eyes. They know Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so they go to the Jewish leaders. This is great news to the Jewish leaders. He really is the Messiah, guys. Do the chief priests believe the guards? Maybe. But they got to come up with this. They've got to come up with an answer. They got to come up with a different story, because if this is in fact the resurrection of Christ, everything they have done comes undone. You see, the resurrection of Christ changes everything. And these skeptics are not about to accept the changes. They like things just the way they are. Oh yeah, the Romans are sort of in charge, but we have this uneasy alliance with them, and we're still sort of in charge. And we can work out our political differences with the Romans. Let's not upset the apple cart very much. So they come up with this story, they raise a lot of money, and they say, we're going to bribe these guards, tell this story about the disciples have stolen the body. And oh, by the way, don't worry about your coming execution. If Pilate hears about it, we'll handle it for you. So the guards go away and tell the story. Now, some people are still skeptics today, aren't they? There's a lot of skepticism, a lot of reasons for people to deny the resurrection of Jesus. Why would they want to deny the resurrection of Jesus? Because it changes everything. If God truly raised Jesus from the dead, we must follow him. We must obey him. We must change our entire lives to be like him. I was in a small group in Albuquerque before God ever put any inkling in my mind that I was supposed to go into ministry, full-time ministry. And there's only four of us, and Dave was in our group, and Dave did not believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in Christ. And he came every week, studied, knew all the answers, worked at it, and he refused to convert for about 2 or 3 years. And it was very apparent pretty quickly that God had him hooked. He was just reeling him in a little slowly, okay? But he refused to convert because he knew the changes that would make in his life. To know that God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you, and he wants a relationship with you, changes your whole life for the better. Dave finally converted. I mean, that's the end of the story. You know that, okay? But that's why we have skeptics, is because they would have to change their life. And so there's skeptics today, of course, who say, well, modern science has shown the resurrection could never have happened. Well, you know, they're not so different than, you know, the ancient people just didn't know anything. Well, the ancients know just as well as we do, dead people stay dead. This is a once in a forever instance that God raised one person from the dead to live forever and ever. Now, because he lives, we also will be resurrected someday, but that will be where everyone is raised. Some to everlasting life, some to condemnation. Okay? But this is a once in a world history event. And there were skeptics back then, and they had excuses, and they bribed people to tell lies. And some people today say, well, Matthew made this up to try and put the story to rest. And he had everything to gain by that. And if you scratch your head a little bit and think about it, what did Matthew have to gain, or what did the disciples have to gain by saying, Jesus is alive? Jesus was raised from the dead. Matthew was martyred because he said that. Every one of them was. For the first 300 years of Christianity, where it was spreading all across the known world like wildfire, people were being persecuted and killed for their faith. They were trying to stamp it out, and it continued to spread. They had nothing to gain by proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. It was not true. And they had everything to lose by proclaiming his resurrection. And yet, this leader, Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be the Messiah, who was put to death on a cross by the Romans, when he was raised from the dead, he empowered these people to respond. I think the growth of Christianity, the huge spread of it throughout the Mediterranean world at that time, which was the known world for them, that is a historical event that we cannot deny, that gives more credence to the resurrection of Christ than I think people sometimes want to give it. What about us? Are we going to be skeptical? Are we going to be afraid to say Jesus is alive, he is risen indeed? Are we going to let that fact change our lives for the better? Are we going to follow after him? As the puppets taught us, the story is pretty straightforward. Jesus died to take care of our sins. God raised him again, as they said, I think, this is the best day ever. Did I get that right? Did I hear that? The puppets teach us Easter, Resurrection Day, is the best day ever. And we need to proclaim it. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.